And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Thanks, JP, for the kind introduction. It is just absolutely beautiful outside. If you have a normal habit of spending the vast majority of your time indoors, you have got to make it a point to go outside today. Earlier this week, I was reading an article from, I believe it was National Geographic, and the gentleman that wrote the article, he's famous for writing the book called The Blue Zones. I don't know if you've read that or not. It's pretty popular. It's got some pretty pictures in it, and of course it's kind of fun to listen to stories of other cultures and far off destinations around the world. So I think one of the things that he does, though, is he likes to go to parts of the world. I'm trying to think of his name. Is it Dan Buettner? Is that right? Wrote the book called The Blue Zones. But for example, one of the places on the planet where people tend to live much longer and they're healthier and they can maintain their strength and their mental function, well, it would be Okinawa, Japan. But this article wasn't necessarily about that. It was, what is the one activity that people tend to live longer doing than any other activity that we know of? And I said, okay, I'm going to read this. And it was just a very short read. I don't think it took more than maybe 3 minutes to read it on my iPhone. And as I was reading this, I said, okay, I want to see what the punchline is. And lo and behold, it was gardening. And he was just making the point that typically when people go outside and they work in the soil, they get fresh air. They get sunshine. Maybe they bathe their skin with light. You ever thought of that one? For all I know, there are so many people that love to work in their garden, but they would prefer to do it without shoes on. And so that would be an additional benefit when your bare foot is touching the grass or the ground or the wood chips, that you practice this principle called earthing, where the earth's gentle electromagnetic field releases its electrons into your body, and whether you realize it or not, you are a solar charged battery. You can't live without electrons and without the wavelength of energy called sunlight. And so when somebody has a garden, they probably eat the very food that they grow. By the way, one of the tenets of health is you cannot just eat any food and call it good. You've got to eat food that actually produces energy. And so there's some foods that are dead foods. For example, if you went into the grocery store and you purchased an American delicacy called the Pop-Tart, that stuff is dead. It has a 20-year shelf life. If your idea of prepping for a potential catastrophe or the future is to store up on Pop-Tarts, well, you're in good company, because all your friends are going to have something to eat if you have a stockpile of those, because they can't go bad, meaning they're dead. There's nothing alive in them. They have no life force. There's no living enzymes. They have no living activity. So yes, maybe eating one of those is better than starving to death. But if you're going to eat something that's going to rejuvenate your body and generate energy, it's going to have a life force about it. And so, just consider that if you want to have radiant health, you need to eat something that has life force to it, that has energy. Okay. Came across four articles. One's from www.ncbi.nih.gov, PubMed. Anyway, here's the title of the first article: Hand Grip Strength Among Millennials. The second article is Grip Strength and Life Expectancy. The third article is Grip Strength and Hospital Admission Rates. And the fourth article is Grip Strength and Length of Hospital Stay. You already know where I'm going with this. The first article basically says, if you're raised indoors and your greatest activity is playing video games or pushing those buttons on a remote control, they have so much tension and resistance that when you push them, it causes the muscles in your hand to hypertrophy and become stronger. No, it doesn't. Could you imagine your great-grandparents? They were used to hard, manual labor all day long. Thus, they kept their bodies very strong. Well, the first article says that people today are much weaker than people, 50 years ago. I'm sure you would agree with that. If you spend the entirety of your days indoors sitting on a couch, that may be one of the best things that gardening can do. You could bend over and grab a weed by its roots, and you could try to have a game of tug-of-war to see who can win. I don't know about you, but there have been several weeds or small saplings that I have lost, and they have won. I have this device that I use called a weed wrench. That is one bad wrench. It has these metal teeth that I can put around the base of a small tree. When I say a small tree, I mean like a small weedy-like tree. And man, you get leverage. Archimedes would be so proud of me using a long lever and a angle of a pry bar to pull it from the ground. Many a bush and tree have I pulled up with that. It's awesome. But that's how people used to do it. They used to bend over or kneel or squat, and they would grab a weed with their hand. Supposedly, that's how the Spartans trained their young warriors. Every night before bed, they would force them down or tell them to go to the river, and they would have to use their hands only, and they would have to pull reeds from the river in order to make their bedding at night. Could you imagine how strong a young Spartan warrior would be? It's probably incredible. I still remember as a boy going to church, and there was a man named Lloyd. I won't mention his last name, but Lloyd must have been 75 to 80 years of age. And if you looked at his hands, you could see where the fingers were bent and distorted, and what I know now is calcium deposits from arthritis. His hands were somewhat deformed. If I were guessing, I would say rheumatoid arthritis, because it has a proclivity to distorting the ankle of the joints where the fingers become bent and gnarled and disformed. But man, could Lloyd crush my hand. And would that make him smile? Oh my goodness. That's probably the happiest he was, is when he could get the upper hand on me and grip my hand to the point of crushing it. But anyway, the first article is Hand Grip Strength Among Millennials. It's just obvious. We're weaker today than what we used to be. Well, so what am I telling you here? The solution is you're going to have to get stronger. The number one predictor of how long a person's going to live is going to be how physically strong they are. So the second article says grip strength and life expectancy. And so basically the punchline for the article is, the author of the study is saying, it comes from 2015, so that's what, 5 years ago. Grip strength is literally linked to life expectancy and is a more reliable predictor of how healthy and long you're going to live than blood pressure. But do you ever hear someone talk about that? I mean, besides me, probably not much. So the strength of your hands and your body is a more accurate predictor than your blood pressure. Now, I'm kind of thinking to myself here. If you're used to doing manual labor, meaning, let's just say on the weekends you're a carpenter, meaning you're repairing your own home. Well, it requires a certain amount of strength to swing a hammer or a sledgehammer or to grab a shovel or a hoe, doesn't it? Now listen to this one, the third article. In this study, they've shown that level of grip strength in elderly populations, which probably a significant amount of the listeners this morning are going to be above the age of, 35, which means they're elderly. That's just a joke. But it shows that grip strength in elderly populations is going to be one of the most accurate predictors of all time of hospital admission rates. And the second part of the study shows the greater the grip strength, the sooner they're released from the hospital compared to those that are weaker. So this basically implies that your level of grip strength is probably going to indicate to a greater degree the ability of your body to function in this world. Is anybody listening this morning, were y'all good at milking cows? And I really did not have enough practice with our Guernsey cow when we lived in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, when I was a young child. Oh, my mama could do it, though. Oh, she had that technique down. I can still hear the stream of milk hitting the galvanized pail. I think someone has been trying to call, so the number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and make a comment or ask me a question. Obviously, you already know me well. I'm extremely biased. I'm biased toward any substance that would actually help improve the strength and the quality of your cells. You know, your cells, they make everything happen, so we need to give them what they need. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. How about you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Doing really great. our little mutual friend is having some issues with bowel movements and things.
Too much or too little?
Feel like razors coming out, sharp pain.
He probably has hemorrhoids.
And what can you, feels like ripping a scab.
Well, it's probably it's probably an internal hemorrhoid. And when, if he were to take a look at the tissue paper, there would probably be.
There's blood.
Yeah, and that's a hemorrhoid.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about this for a second.
Okay.
All right. there is a substance that's found in usually high concentrations in the human body that's called collagen.
Right.
So just like if somebody put up wood studs to make a wall, that would be the frame of a house right there. So collagen's kind of like the framework of all
right.
the tissues in the body, whether it's the muscle or the bone or the skin or the blood vessels. They're all made of collagen. That's the collagen. That's
uh-huh.
what gives them structure.
Right.
And so a lot of times when an individual has trouble with hemorrhoids, that usually means that they have issues with their gallbladder. I know I'm going to take a long way to connect the dots, but let me just say that the gallbladder and the liver, it's very unusual how blood flows into them. So I'll just kind of leave it at that without going into great detail.
Right. Okay.
But if there's, all I'm suggesting is if there's just a little bit of back pressure on the liver and the gallbladder, it's very easy for those veins that service the lower part of the intestines, meaning the rectal or the sigmoid colon,
right.
they begin to bulge because the blood can't make it through the liver and the gallbladder. It's almost like the sponge is a little bit clogged up.
Right.
And so, can I just tell you what I would recommend if it were me?
Oh, please do.
Okay. There is a yellow fruit that grows on a tree called a lemon.
Yep.
And a lemon might end up being one of the most amazing fruits that God has ever created. But lemons, in their fresh, native, organic form, they are absolutely one of the best sources of whole vitamin C that you're going to find anywhere.
Okay.
And so if he had access to a juicer, now I can just tell you what my favorite would be for him. And since you're independently wealthy and a multi-zillionaire, money is no object for you.
Right,
sir.
Yeah, sure.
Did you catch that, sir?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There is a type of a juicer called a masticating juicer.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, it would wring out the vitamin C probably better than other ones, and you can get a really good one for around $100. I know that's a lot of money, but
yeah,
a masticating juicer, it has this auger type bit, but you could literally take the entire lemon. And if you had one of those curved hawk's bill paring knives, You can just try to remove just the bare minimum of the outer part of the rind, or where the zest is, and you could peel that. But you leave as much of that white pithy part that's called the albedo. And if you could run that through the juicer, he would have instant healing in his body. Now, an article that I read about 3 or 4 months ago, they were making the correlation between liver and gallbladder problems and a diet that was deficient in vitamin C. So the solution for this young man, or one of them, if we could start giving him freshly squeezed lemon juice every single day,
right?
Or maybe if he made a salad, he might put a little bit of lemon zest on it, then what the properties of the lemon, it will start to scrub all the gunky's just a made-up word, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
All the gunky debris that's in his blood, it would start scrubbing it clean. You want to scrub the debris out of the kidneys and the arteries and the veins and the liver and the gallbladder? Mm-hmm. Lemon juice can do that. This article specifically was about the occurrence of gallstone formation, which I know you've heard of people having gallstones before, but when you're low in vitamin C intake because you're not eating either lemons or limes, you get these stones that start to form. And sometimes they can get so large that a person could have major issues with their gallbladder. And those issues can be incapacitating pain. So if there's any back pressure or sluggishness of the gallbladder, you're going to see hemorrhoids form. Now, if he told me that he was in severe pain where it's like razors, then one old school technique is just to, and this is not to hurt him, this is to help him.
Right.
It is to take a piece of sterile gauze, kind of like if you went to the grocery store and you walked down the aisle that had the first aid supplies.
Right.
You just squeeze fresh lemon juice on this cotton-based gauze, and you just kind of pack it right there between your cheeks. Not trying to be too graphic on a Saturday morning.
No, I understand. Yeah.
Right before he goes to bed, if he could do that, then his body will act like a wick to draw the lemon. Yes, exactly. I wasn't going to use the term suck it up, because usually that means you're not trying hard enough when you're playing football.
Yeah.
Isn't that what your dad told you? Suck it up, son.
Yeah, pretty much. You're a big boy now.
Does he still do that?
No.
Okay. Why are you laughing? It's because he's there listening right now?
No, actually, he is asleep in the other room.
Now, tell me again, how old is he?
He will be 96 a week from today.
Oh, no, totally. He has my permission to boss you around as much as he needs.
And he'll be on his riding mower this morning after breakfast.
Hey, he better kick it in high gear and get out there right now and start getting after it.
I'm telling you.
What do you think he's going to... But anyway, if... but he
another is, issue is with it is he's detoxing from some meds that the doctors have given him for several years in dealing with constipation.
Well, here's what he
needs. Could that be a part of it, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
From all the pushing?
Absolutely. And so here's what he needs right here. If he could just be committed to including more lemons throughout the day, and that could be just as simple as taking a pair of those yellow pliers they sell at the store and squeezing the blood from the lemon. So if he can,
looks like 2 lemons per 2 quarts of water.
Perfect. That's exactly what he needs.
And cucumber.
As a general rule, when somebody weighs probably below 150 pounds, 1 lemon a day will do the job. But if you weigh above 150, which I think that I might actually weigh 151 if I were to tip the scale.
You better take 2 lemons.
I better take 2 lemons. And so the other thing is, there is a substance that has a tremendous ability to help rejuvenate damaged tissues. And I realize what I'm going to say is going to be crazy and nuts, but I want you to hear me and probably one or two other people that are listening.
Right.
If I had significant damage to my spine or any blood vessels in the body, I think that I would look very seriously into what's called aloe vera gel. So if you took your trusted pocket knife and you were to cut an aloe vera plant, or better yet, just snap the leaf off, you would find this gel-like gooey substance emanating from the leaf, and that's the gel. That is the life force in the blood of the aloe vera. But you talk about a way to rejuvenate the body.
Right.
That would do it. Now, I know what I'm fixing to tell you is not going to come across as real politically correct or sound like $1 million, but here goes. Uh-huh. If he were to remove the, which it's a member of the cactus family, so you might want to remove the barbs from it or any sticky parts.
Uh-huh.
But he could actually make an aloe vera gel suppository from this, where he could just take a couple of 3 inches of the aloe vera leaf, peel it, and then just insert it. It's just a question of how much is the young man suffering, how much pain is he in, is how motivated is he to get beyond this and over it. But he might want to consider giving himself an aloe vera gel suppository. If he doesn't want to do that, he could just consume it orally. That stuff is amazing. I remember, can I tell you just a real quick story?
Sure.
Woman with a hip replacement. She couldn't heal. And the problem was there was a continual drainage that would emanate from the surgical incision site.
Right.
And it looked bad. But after months of antibiotics and drainage pumps, wound care center couldn't get it under control. And so out of desperation, I think her son called me. And he said, what would you do if it was your mother? And I said, well, take an aloe vera leaf. I mean, it's his call, not mine. I'm not telling you what to do. He asked me what I would do for my mom, theoretically.
Right.
So you just fillet the aloe vera leaf, and I had her lay it directly over that open wound that was oozing. And he told me then the next morning that the aloe vera leaf looked like it had purple-black color to it, where it was like a clear green the night before. And I said, well, hey, it's just pulling all that old yucky blood and toxic filth from the wound. And that sucker just healed right up. I think we did use maybe some raw honey.
Right.
Of course, I had... I'm sorry?
I was going to say, if he is not able to get hold of an actual aloe vera plant or leaf...
Well, he can. It's as simple as going to a home store, like Lowe's or Home Depot, and surely they have those there.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Well, if he goes, they'll have a plant. They're very easy.
What about if... I know there's bottles of aloe vera gel. Would that work at all? Or
yeah, that's definitely an option. Yeah, he can do that. No, you got to play the hand you're dealt. You got to go with what you can get your hands on.
So he could still do like a suppository type with using the aloe vera gel.
Yeah, but if we had what's called if he had a masticating juicer, then he had fruits and vegetables.
Right.
Then he could start getting mega doses of the lifeblood of plants into his body to help healing.
Right.
Somebody asked me the other day, if you were to come down with cancer, Dr. Morgan, what would you do? And I said, I'd probably do like a 21-day water fast. But in his case, a juicing fast might work wonders because you don't have to break down and process the food. You give the body a break.
Right.
You know what most people tell me? The number one... is when they fast, they tell me, I have never had this much energy in my entire life. And you would probably agree with me that it takes energy for the body to heal and rejuvenate. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So, but he's right now, like I say, he's doing 2 lemons per 2 quarts of water with cucumber.
That's good. He needs to stay away from, probably for the time being, I'd probably stay away from any pork products.
Okay.
And any refined food. So if he's devoted to eating, which most people are, then he probably needs to eat 1 green salad a day. If I had my way, it'd be like an olive oil-based salad dressing.
Right.
That would be horrible with balsamic vinegar on it.
I don't even know
if I could tolerate the taste of it.
There you go. And he loves salmon.
You don't really like savory foods, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't like food at all.
If you were on a spacecraft to Mars, would you want to eat bland space meals or spicy ones?
Spicy.
That's what I thought. I could tell by the tone of your voice.
A little bit of spice.
So the other thing that he needs to do, if he wants to have collagen synthesis, he needs to exercise every single day. And one of the greatest ways to strengthen the gallbladder and the liver and those blood vessels is by doing some form of I gotta be careful. I started to say crunch. That doesn't even sound right. Crunch sounds like celery in your mouth. I'm referring to like abdominal exercises. But
the
if he
crunch,
can,
the crunch
yes.
sit-ups.
And that's yeah. that's what I meant, like some type of abdominal sit-up. That could be everything from planks to crunches to sit-ups to
right.
Scissors, leg raises, things like that. But as a general rule, when the hip flexors, that's a very specific type of a muscle in the body,
right.
when those have some weakness, or another, the second category is when the pelvic floor muscles are weak, that's when you're going to have hemorrhoids that cut you like razors. And I don't want
right.
that to happen to him. So the pelvic floor muscles. But then again, you know what we have today? We have something called a phone. You could
yes.
go. You could go on your phone and you could type in very easily, hip flexors or pelvic floor muscles, how to strengthen them. And on YouTube, you'd have only 40 zillion people trying to show you how to do it, right, which is
exactly.
pretty.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he can do those things.
Okay. Great. Yeah. That's.
If we can get all the built-up residue out of his arteries, and the vitamin C that's found in lemon juice and all those bioflavonoids. That
right.
will greatly improve what's called collagen synthesis, and his body will start
right.
repairing faster.
Now, he's also started, I think he has some collagen that he started taking again.
Well, the other option that we have here, and I think this is a very viable option, and just hear me out.
Yeah.
You know, currently they have a quarantine, like if you were to fly him into Hawaii, like the island of Kauai.
Right.
And if he's there, they'll say, you can't leave for 2 weeks. And I'm thinking in 2 weeks, he's going to have to go dive into the ocean near the reef and catch his own fish.
Right.
And he'll have to go into the jungle and pick his own mangoes and coconuts so he can have something else to eat. But I think that's a good plan. So you just promote
if
it like you're only
going to
be
Hawaii,
there.
It's me.
Sir, I'm all about healing your friend
Hawaii.
Here.
And oh, I forgot about him.
All you're doing is thinking about yourself. You're making it all about you now.
Oh, man. I hate when that happens.
You tell your dad to wake up right now and to set you straight.
Actually, I think I just heard him.
Okay. You know, he probably heard me say his name.
Yeah, there you go.
Is he a jack of all trades?
He certainly is. In more ways than... That man can fix it. He used to be able and still can fix about anything.
If I were you, I would purposely break things today and plead ignorance on how to repair it and see if he can, you know,
yeah,
pops,
there you go.
Pops into action.
There you go.
And so if you would only do these things, because I know that money is no object with you.
Yeah.
And you
mm-hmm.
can make it happen.
There you go.
And plus, I have a patient that flies Southwest Airlines, and they now fly from Love Field to Hawaii.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
But you will be. But he will be quarantined for 2 weeks. Don't tell him that part. And that
yeah.
way, when he's stuck there for 2 weeks, he's going to say, you totally tricked me. I thought it was for 3 days.
There you have it. Well, all right. Well, so we're looking basically at lemon.
Lemon.
At,
he would do
aloe.
Really, yes, and other foods that are very good for his gallbladder would be avocados
yeah.
and sweet potatoes.
Very good.
If he wants something sweet, eating an apple a day would go a long way to probably helping the young man.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay, and let's get him healed in good working order. That way he can start doing the very thing that God created him to do, which is to use his unique talent and skill set to bless the world and make the world a better place.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, I'll get him to tune in the replay and we'll go from there. When does the replay pop up? Would it be like in the next couple of days, or?
I don't know the answer, but JP would know. He's the genius brains up here.
Ah. Well, anyhow, I'll have him do that, and I'll tell him what we've talked about, and
okay,
see what we can get going. Thank you so much
yes,
for your help.
Thank you. Thanks for your phone call. Give him my very
All
best.
Right. I will, and you have a really great weekend.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you very much. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. I hope you have a great weekend also. What can we do? We have to encourage the young man that's trying to restore his health. If he's going through some period of a detox, let's all encourage the young man. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, and always enjoy Saturday mornings with you. Good
oh,
deal.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you very much for your phone call, sir.
I was looking into, I knew you had talked about apple cider vinegar, and I was looking at the how much to take, and it looked kind of a lot. I read where it said 2 tablespoons and 8 ounces of water 3 times a day. Does that sound correct?
Well, it's relative. There are some people that can't tolerate that amount, so you got to find out what the Goldilocks just right dose is for you. But I would say that's a good number if you can tolerate it.
What would happen to me to know I didn't tolerate? Be too much acid? Or?
Well, I know what I'm going to say is going to come across as a little bit crazy and maybe counterintuitive, but if you start having aches and your pains in your hands and your feet and they won't go away, I would say that would be a side effect of some people not tolerating that. So,
okay, well, I was just wanting to make sure because I was wanted to restart that and wasn't sure.
Or if it burns a hole in your stomach? No, that's a joke. I didn't mean...
Lastly, I was curious. I'm 69, and I wanted to know what vitamins would be the correct ones to take I'm getting older.
Okay. Based on the previous conversation with the gentleman, let's just put your water content of your body to the side for a second. But if I suggested that your body is probably 70% water, that would be correct. But minus the water, the main substance that you are made of is called amino acids, or what I would probably say is collagen. And so you know that like a young child, they have the softest, smoothest skin of all time. It's just perfect. It's beautiful.
Right.
Did I tell you the story? This woman just had a baby, and she came to my office the other day, and she went to the bathroom, and she left the baby with me, and it was like the baby was like 4 weeks old, and the baby all of a sudden had this poopy diaper. I really think the mom did that on purpose. And so by the time she came out, I had no choice. I had to change the diaper. But the baby's skin was silky smooth. And so as you age at the age of 69... I'm personally 88 years old. I'm joking about that. But at 69, you are losing collagen faster than you can replace it. So if it were me at your age, these are the things that I would consider.
Okay.
If you have, do you have any issues with animal products? I personally do not. I think that animal proteins are great. So
no, I don't.
So if you love to eat chicken wings or chicken thighs or chicken,
please
cook it with the skin on there. If you want to roast a chicken in the oven and bake it, and it comes out with extra thick, crispy skin, eat the skin. Do not discard the skin. That's valuable. It's got collagen.
We had it last night, and I saw skin off to the side, and I didn't think it would be good to eat, but I better eat it.
Sir, you go back to the trash can right now and you dig that stuff out. And wait, is it more than 3 minutes? Never mind. So if you'll start doing that, the other thing is, any cuts of red meat from a cow that have a bone attached to them. So if it was like an arm roast or a shoulder roast, or it had a shank or a ribeye steak that had the bone in, or a T-bone steak. Those tend to have more collagen. So you're just giving your body the very thing that it needs to maintain the integrity of the tissues. And I'd say, as a man ages, he probably needs to be very careful and make sure he gets adequate amounts of zinc.
Well, that's what I knew that you talked about the COVID information, and I know now there's a little deal going on where they're you do 2-3 different medicines, and one is zinc. And I was curious about that.
Well, I think you would do very wise. You can only age as gracefully as the soft tissues of your body. So collagen is what it's composed of for your arteries and your veins and your muscles. And so without zinc, your body just can't quite make the repairs it needs to. There's just so many enzyme reactions. And, of course, this is just the way that I see it. But if you're deficient in zinc or vitamin C or vitamin D or vitamin A, well, my goodness, your body's going to go through this hierarchy and say, I think I'm going to keep him alive more than I'm going to cause, you know, new muscle growth or skin repair or arterial repair. So you always want to make sure that you have enough zinc. So for an average man, 69 years of age, is very active, I'd say 30 milligrams of zinc as far as a supplement would be a very good call. Now, the next point, I'm not against seafood. I think if you want to have some chance to be productive and to be strong and to keep your health intact, you're going to need to eat some seafood. I mean, fish is incredible. I have read before that a tuna can swim 60 miles an hour under the ocean. I don't have any idea how somebody can swim that fast.
So I mean, straight out of the can tuna would be sufficient?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love that. Yeah.
Or
that's
if
one
you,
of my favorite.
If you have a boat, I will give you my phone number, and we'll go down to 800 foot of water off the Gulf of Mexico, and we'll let our line down.
Right. No,
I don't. Did you hear about those men from Louisiana off the coast that they hooked a tuna and it stayed at 800 feet and they couldn't pull it up for like 2 hours? All of a sudden, the tuna's making a dash toward the surface of the ocean and they're reeling in so fast they're going, what is the deal? Well, guess what was hot on the tuna's tail? A 21-foot great white shark.
Wow.
They were so scared they cut loose and they took off because the shark was just as big as their boat. I think they had like a 22-foot boat.
Wow.
You never saw the movie called Jaws, did you?
Yes.
That was based on a real-life experience of my childhood, but that's neither here nor there at this point.
When you said red meat with bone, so just normal, how do I say it, hamburger meat is not really going to do it.
No. I'm not saying that won't do it. But here's what I will say if I can give you like my strong sales pitch.
Sure.
I know these are rhetorical questions I'm asking you. I'll scratch that. Your ability to stay strong and healthy is going to be based on what you eat. You know how it says in the book of Leviticus that the life is in the blood?
Right.
Well, I'm telling you, buddy, everything that you need to grow muscle and skin and high-quality blood and kidney tissue and liver tissue and heart tissue, it's found in red meat.
Okay.
But what I would ask you to do is I would strongly encourage you to seek out grass-fed, pastured cows without chemicals and hormones, and that's doable.
Mm.
So there are some people that they have figured out, I am not going to play the game that everybody else plays. I'm not going to pump my cows full of steroids and hormones and chemicals.
Right.
I'm just going to let them eat grass and vegetation like God's designed for them, and I'm going to let them work for it and forage. Now, it may take longer for them to get the cows to the processor to get the ground beef, but if you could find a source of really good grass-fed beef, I get mine from a genius woman that lives in Cayuga. Her name is Wendy. Her IQ is off the charts. Unbelievable.
I'd like to know where to do that. Is that called?
Well, it's just they sell grass-fed beef. I don't mind giving you their phone number at all right now.
I don't mind to take
you. You got a pencil handy?
Yeah, I'm writing all this down. Yes.
903.
Okay.
388.
Okay.
2245. I'm going to double check because I've got her name in my phone here. Sorry for the.
No problem. So, is there a place where could you get organic? Is that what you're saying? Organic meat?
Well, it's essentially organic because it hasn't been raised with pesticides and chemicals and artificial fertilizers and like growth enhancing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Hers is 903-388-2245.
Yeah.
I actually don't even have her number in my phone. I have her husband's number in my phone. And his is a different number. But I'm thinking I should give his number. That way all the weirdos could send him text messages.
Oh, wow.
I'm joking. No, but they have grass-fed beef. And it's so interesting because I've asked so many people when they eat that grass-fed beef, I said, okay, you tell me. Which one gives you the biggest bang for the buck? And they say it's just incredible, the flavor and the taste. If you had your way, wouldn't you rather sit down and eat something that has tremendous flavor to it? And as a general rule, if you eat, and I'm only saying this because this is horrible to say, but I'm telling you the truth. I bought a steak at the store, and when I cooked it, it had zero flavor to it, zero. And so it came in a package of two. You know what I did with the second one? I threw it away.
Yeah.
Didn't even, I said, there's, no, can't do it. But when you eat real food that has nutrient density to it, that means it is just chock full of nutrients and vitamins and minerals. It's usually going to have very, very good flavor.
Okay. Wow.
So as a man, as a man that's slightly, I would say 69 is like lower middle age. Is that your interpretation also?
I sure hope so, yes.
Okay. Well, don't you have things that you want to do?
Very much, very much.
Okay, see, you have an amazing mind, but your ticket to transporting your mind out into the world where you can do these great things is going to be your body. And so we need to chisel away at your body and keep making it stronger and better, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And so for men, I would probably say it would be a good call to consider maybe taking a little bit of saw palmetto as they're aging to make sure that their prostate can age gracefully. I think I said earlier, you can only live as long as your arteries are in good working order, but then again, that would be true for the kidneys or the brain. So you need vitamin C. Human beings do not manufacture vitamin C. You're going to have to get it from either the food that you eat or from taking a supplement. But just like I mentioned to the gentleman earlier, when you eat organic lemons, oh, dude, they have so many nutrients, it's unbelievable. You would do very well if you had a lemon a day.
Right.
You wouldn't. You would never develop scurvy.
Well, I take a multiple vitamin, and does it have the cDNA like you had said? Or
it should have some amounts. It probably will not have anywhere close to what I would call optimal amounts.
Okay.
So, like, if you determine in your mind and your heart that you really want to accomplish great things and you've got to have a body that serves you well,
right?
That's where you're probably going to start looking. Okay, for me to get this done, I'm going to have to take some supplements. Which, you know what? I'm probably the weirdo that stands out in the crowd, because I would take supplements and people would look at me and say, you're nuts and crazy. But what I would say is, well, I've got things I want to do.
Right.
I mean, if you just go to the store and just watch people, how they move and walk, we are completely broken down.
Yeah.
I can pick out every bad knee and an ankle and hip in all of Walmart just by watching people walk.
Oh, my.
And the thing of it is that sometimes they don't even live in reality where they know they have a problem. I mean, I could walk up to a person and say, man, did you know that you had a medial meniscus injury?
Yes.
And she goes, well, how did you know that? I said, well, I can watch you walking. I can tell you're favoring the knee.
That's how come you're the doctor. That's good.
Well,
I preach the gospel and I'm going to other countries, and we're stuck now waiting for the planes to start again. But I've got more to do before I'm finished.
Well, listen, Godspeed, and may the Lord look upon you with great favor and shine upon you, because you need to be very strong to be who you are and what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so
much.
Which
is your first country you're going to when they open up the airways?
December in Bolivia.
Bolivia?
Yeah.
Does that mean you could speak Spanish fluently?
Yes, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Do you speak any other languages besides Spanish?
English, that's it.
I know how to say good morning in Cambodian.
Well, I know how to say God bless you in Swahili, too.
Let's hear it.
Buona sifiwe, something like
and
that.
And that's Swahili, right?
Yes.
Have you spent time in Africa?
Yes, I stayed a little while, two months in Kenya, and I've been to Mozambique, and been to Niger and Burkina Faso also.
Out of those four countries you mentioned, which one is absolutely the poorest one?
I would guess
I think you're going to say Mozambique.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That was an experience.
Are the people happy over there, though?
It's been a while since I've been there, but I would say the same as other countries.
Well, would you say as a whole that people are pretty happy in Africa?
I probably wouldn't say that. I mean, I would think that they're more without things, meaning if they're living...
Well, compared to America, they are.
Yeah, but living more natural, I would say that would be true, too, because they're living more natural. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But not sure about finances, though, that they can purchase things.
Well, we don't realize how great we have it here.
Right. That's right. I have it too much, almost.
Well, I wish you the very best, and I think if you work on these things, you're welcome. Godspeed, and I hope the airways open up come December where you can make it to Bolivia safely in one piece.
Thanks. I've downloaded all of your shows, and I'm trying to go through them.
Well, I know one person that's not going through them. That would be... Never mind. No, thank you for your phone call. I appreciate you very much. Have a good day, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. If you'd like to join me on the air, there is plenty of time left for another phone call. The number is 903-586-5257. Hang on, the button won't work. Okay, third time was a charm. Good morning, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Seriously, I tried to push the button, it wouldn't activate. Evidently, it has something against you. I do not have anything against you, but the computer wouldn't take. But now that you're on, go ahead.
I was just remarking at the coincidence of today. I have an uncle who in a week is going to be 60 or 96 years old.
Do you really?
What are the odds?
What is his name?
Well, he's the jack of all trades also.
Well, yeah. You know what? This man's name was Jack. Is his name Jack?
Yes. My cousin.
You know what? Have you ever... Wait a second. You beat me to the punch. I was going to say, could y'all be related?
Yeah.
Know what? Great minds think alike. Oh, my goodness. And just see, there's a world of time zones in between the two of you also. You just don't even realize. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Okay. I have a friend who is suffering from lupus.
Is it male or female?
He is male.
Okay.
And he claims it. He but he can't grip any longer, and his job is installing and moving around X-ray equipment and stuff like that.
Well, you tell me, what is the number one system that's been affected by the lupus?
He tells me he can't grip anything with his hands any longer.
So you're talking about musculoskeletal, right?
Yes.
More so than lung or kidney or liver or heart or skin, right?
Skin is a problem also.
Okay.
I haven't heard him talk about lung, kidney, or heart, but skin and muscle, yes.
Well, do you mind if I'm radical?
Yeah.
Wait, how old is he?
Oh, my God. He's in his 60s someplace.
So what does he do for a living again?
He installs equipment.
Okay. That means he needs his hands and arms and shoulders.
Absolutely.
And wrists and hips and everything else. Okay.
He's got to turn your screwdrivers and grab wrenches and do all sorts of stuff.
Okay, let me do the simple stuff first, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's just say I don't know anything about his unique variation of lupus, but I think there's like 8 different forms. And lupus is an autoimmune disease, meaning under the right circumstances, your immune system will start to attack some of the tissue and damage it. So like in his case, his manifestation of lupus is his immune system, the conditions are right for him to attack his hands. Not mm-hmm. good. So what do we do to put a stop to that? So let me give the strongest sales pitch I can to you. It has been my experience that when somebody has lupus, almost always, as in 99.9% of the time, they are eating something that is completely counterproductive to their immune system being able to work properly. And if they eat this food, it will gin up a lot of inflammation, and then they will attack themselves. And so I am trying to convince him with all my might not to eat any grains or dairy products whatsoever.
Okay.
That may sound harsh, but no corn, no wheat, no genetically modified soybeans, no cow's milk, no ice cream, no Bluebell ice cream. Can you believe I'm saying that on the radio? That's horrible.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I appreciate it.
He's probably going to say life is not worth living if I can't do that. I'm only teasing about that. But if he could give those up and just focus on what I would call meat and vegetables with a little bit of fruit, that will get him 80% better.
Okay.
Now, here's the crazy thing. There is an organ in the body. It is the largest filter of the immune system. It is called the spleen. In Spanish, it's called bazo, in case you're Spanish. That's the one rare organ I know in Spanish. I've heard the term grande cabeza. I don't really know what that means. And then sometimes they say to me, grande boca. I don't know what that means either. I just smile and keep trying to help people. But
it must be something good.
That would be my interpretation. Yeah, probably like the highest compliment of all time to say, El Dr. Morgan, grande boca. I just think that's probably like really sweet, like I love you in Spanish, right?
It means they love everything you say.
I'm feeling better about myself. And so what I would do is did you say this is your friend?
Oh, yes.
So I would give him what's called desiccated spleen. It's going to come from a calf source or a cow source.
Desiccated?
Yes. And what they do is when they take a cow to the processing facility and they harvest the organs, I do not want them throwing the spleen away. I want them to save it. But like in this gentleman's case, there will be nutritional companies that they make. They will sell products by collecting the spleen, washing it, cleaning it, and then essentially dehydrating it. Just like if you took mango or apple slices or banana slices or coconut and you put them in a dehydrator just to suck the moisture out of them. Okay. Well, if you use a low temperature like 85 to maybe 100 degrees and a fan, we can draw the moisture out of the spleen and thus preserve its integrity and its nutritional content. But more importantly, there are compounds in the spleen of the calf that if he will put them in his mouth and swallow them, it will help repair his spleen, which his spleen is the largest filter of the immune system. And that's maybe one thing I'm suggesting about his lupus, is his spleen is all clogged up. And unless we unclog it, he's probably not going to get his hands back the way that he wants. But I'm going to suggest that if he starts taking desiccated spleen from a cow source, he will start to experience amazing healing benefits down the road. I mean, over a time, over a season. Not one day, not one week. But I tell you what, in 3 weeks, he might be able to honestly look at himself in the mirror and go, dude, something is different. I'm liking this. This is working.
So who desecrates cow spleen?
Well, there's a whole bunch of companies. I know probably the one that I use exclusively is from Standard Process. And that's probably the oldest supplement manufacturer on the planet as far as this sort of thing, whole food extracts. But the spleen, there is a... if you were to go in the grocery store, there's this gnarly root over there by the bell peppers in Walmart called ginger root. And I would say ginger root is kind of a cousin to maybe what's called the horseradish. And so horseradish is one of the best herbal remedies or spices when your spleen is clogged up, because it promotes what's called drainage. The concept of drainage to me suggests encouraging the body to let go of the filth and the toxic debris and the waste it's been hanging on to. Mm-hmm. And so thus, you know, you need some drainage. And so a little bit of horseradish could go a long way. I'm thinking the type of guy you are, though, you would cook him a well-prepared grass-fed ribeye steak with some horseradish on it. Am I right?
Huh. Actually, no. I was thinking more of a... dried, dehydrated, desiccated spleen with a good amount of horseradish to really pep him up. Yeah.
And
is that wrong?
And I would say also, his body's probably going to have a much higher requirement for vitamin C than probably what the average person would. But as long as he has vitamin C, his body can make an attempt or direct repair. And so for him, if he gets just standard run-of-the-mill vitamin C, probably a couple of 3,000 milligrams a day will probably greatly help him. But if it was whole food vitamin C, probably 400 to 800 milligrams a day probably would be just fine, because that's going to be extracted from things like oranges and a substance called camu, acerola cherries, things such as that. But okay. if he focuses on getting some raw fruits and vegetables into his body, along with high quality protein, we might can start to make a difference pretty quick.
Now, would this also, is there anything different for his skin? Because I remember him telling me he can't go out in the direct sunlight.
Well, and yeah, the skin's just becoming a whole lot more sensitive. And then, and I know there's a lot of ways to say this. I'm not covering every angle. A lot of the drugs they give for lupus, they make you very photosensitive and where you can just burn easy. But here's the way I want to play it from a different angle. There are substances known as antioxidants. And so, for example, when you eat a mango, it's got beta carotene. That's an antioxidant. It's got vitamin C. That's an antioxidant. The more the skin is filled and chock full of antioxidants and nutrients, the more you resist skin issues. And so what you're doing is one of the one substance that I think is the best for the skin when you're trying to heal the body that when it's in dire straits, it has the highest ORAC score. I think ORAC stands for oxygen radical absorbance capacity. Does that sound right to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. I'm glad
we talking about that with my cousin the other day.
Yes.
We were both amazed at
That y'all could pronounce. I could barely pronounce these things, but there is a mushroom. It's almost like a conch that grows on a birch tree. It's called a chaga mushroom. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's got some of the highest amount of melanin, and you need that for the skins. Melanin is one of the greatest antioxidants for the skin of all time. If you want your skin to thicken and to glow and to be radiant and to be strong and healthy, you might want to look into some chaga.
Hmm.
Now, when I say chaga, that is not to be confused with chaka. Chaka was on Land of the Lost on ABC back in the early 70s, and he was a hairy ape-like creature that could talk and speak English, sort of.
Now, is there any chaga mushrooms left to be used for this purpose? Well, no, the reason I'm asking is
there's millions of tons of the stuff.
Huh.
But you're going to have to.
I'm amazed.
Well, it's gonna grow its very best in the Arctic Circle, like place. Well, you're amazed because if they knew what the power of this was, everybody would be taking it. But that's not the way the world works. You're only going to find, and I'm being serious about this, 3% of the population is going to hear what I say, and they're going to say, I'm going to get some chaga mushroom powder, and I'm going to start putting that in my tea or my coffee or whatever you drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be 97% will never take action. Only 3%.
My amazement is that all these companies have put advertisements on TV for skincare, glowing skin, and all that. And you just said you could have thick, glowing skin with chaga mushroom powder. I would have thought they'd been all over that and bought up the whole world supply.
Must
be other good remedies too for this.
What they want is they want something they can patent and put a trademark on. And when it's natural, you can't necessarily do that.
I know.
Unless you can work your sales pitch just right. But, you know, I have people like you that I can trick into doing. Did I say trick?
You did.
Okay.
You did.
Well, I meant intellectually stimulate into buying it.
Yeah. You meant that as much as the people that speak Spanish to you say grande boca and grande cabeza.
I'm going to look those up later today. I'm going to type
in what is grande boca. They're really talking about wisdom that comes from your head is what they're referring to.
Well, so unfortunately, we're completely out of time, but I thank you very much for the phone call, and I'm glad that your buddy has a friend like you. What a great friend you are. Keep up the good work, man.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.